The offense gets a lot of love, but the defense has all the pieces to be special.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five. Happy Wednesday. We are ready to get after it. Talk a little bit of defense. Hey, the offense gets all the love. It just does. And sometimes it's unfair. It's unfair. It's unjust. And today, we're going to love on this defense because, guys, I think from all the different levels of the defense, it's got the makings to be something special. But, you know, before we get started, we got to give a shout-out to our boy, Ford Stokes, from Retirement Results presented by ActiveWell. Hey, Ford has all the makings to give you a special retirement portfolio, help you get you where you need to be. You need to check him out at retirementresults.com/plan. You may have something in the works already, but how do you know it's performing at the optimal rate that it needs to be performing? How do you know that you're maximizing your Social Security benefits? How do you know you're deleting as many fees as you possibly can? How do you know if you're protecting yourself from the IRS 100%? Ford Stokes is your guy for that. Check him out. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you and show him some love. So, guys, we talked about offense, it seems like, every single day. It's freshman wide receivers. Peyton Thorne looks better. But, hey, I'm telling y'all, I think the defense has a chance to be really, really special this year. There's so many aspects that I've sort of locked in on that I feel like give this defense balance, give this defense depth, and really sets it up for success, sets this defense up for success. There's so many, when you look at the three levels, they all kind of have their good attributes. They have their depth to them. They have their playmaking ability. And I think it's time to start pumping up the defense. I think it's time to start showing these guys the love that they deserve. Hey, look, it all starts up front. The defense, and honestly, and offense too, it all starts up front. It doesn't matter how many five-star DBs you have. It doesn't matter how good your linebackers are. If you don't have a solid defensive front, all of that's useless. Defensive linemen take up blocks so linebackers can run free and make plays. Defense disrupt plays so that quarterback's clock has to tick faster, which gives your DBs more time to react and if they slip a little bit, it gives them time to be able to recover. And then overall just makes the whole defense better. And I think Auburn has a really good chance on the interior and the edge to be pretty disruptive this fall. Look, I talked about it yesterday on Zach's pod, the Locked on Auburn, that one of my winners of fall was Isaiah Rakes. Look, I think one of the big question marks after last year, Marcus Harris had such a successful year, productive year from a statistical standpoint. And also, man, he was just disruptive. Like he was just, he played every single dadgum snap, banged up, got wristbands, elbow band, shoulder band, like everything, shoulder guard, shoulder straps, had everything. And this dude just went in there with his lunch pail, his hard hat, and made stuff happen. Tackles for loss, just disrupting run plays, even being pass rush at times. I think the concern was, where does that come? Where do we replace that production? Because there was a little bit of gap in the roster. You know, I think the defensive line right now is either basically all seniors or young guys. So there was going to be a little gap right there. You had to go find you some options. And Isaiah Rakes being one, is something that I think is going to be make this defense really good. And here's another reason why. Jason Jones is just like Marcus Harris, where he's having to be Iron Man. You know, he's got his knuckles are beat to, you know, fingers, hands are just beat to you know what and back. always not feeling good because he's having to play 80 snaps a game. And now you got a guy like Isaiah Rakes who you were a little bit concerned about. Can he, is he ready? Because, you know, he had the whole weird offseason where he went to USC in the portal, went through spring. Maybe, I don't even know how much he actually did through spring, went back in the portal, and now he's at Auburn. So what kind of condition is he in? What kind of shape is he in? Is he ready to go? Did he get anything out of that spring, the spring workouts? But he's come in, and he's pretty much solidified himself as the 1B, the 1-2 punch with Jason. And, hey, look, for two public scrimmages in a row, you're not running on him. Auburn struggled running the ball, especially up the middle when those guys are on the field and one gets to step off and the other steps in and there's zero drop off. And both of them do different things really well. And then you couple that in with bringing in several guys like Gage Keys, Phillip Bleedy, who are really vying for playing time, really vying for that spot. And then you throw Keldrick Falk on the other side, who is having an incredible spring. An incredible fall camp as well. The interior, I think you have a really good chance to be special, to be able to, A, stop the run, sit down, be immovable. I think you have that. I think you have that element. And then I think you still have the disruption element that Marcus Harris gave you. I think that's going to come from Keldrick Falk. I think that can come from, Gage Keys, Phillip Bleedy. And then obviously you got the dudes in the middle, Jason Jones and Isaiah Rakes, who are going to make some centers miserable, who are going to make some centers and some guards absolutely miserable this year for four quarters. They're just going to lean on some dudes and make some guys want to quit football. And I think that element of the interior that you're a little bit concerned about, I think that's solved. And then you move to the edge, and I could talk about pass rush. There's nothing more fun. There is nothing more fun than having a guy off the edge that you really feel like can get to the quarterback, if not every single snap, almost every single snap. You just think about the domination that may not be the right word. Think about the fear that Jeff Holland, you have to go back to 2017 where Auburn had one of those real premier pass rushers. Think about Jeff Holland. And when he lined up, when he was out there, you felt like if he wasn't going to sack the quarterback, he was going to get a hand on him. He was going to speed his clock up. He was going to make that quarterback nervous, possibly draw an offensive lineman into jumping off sides. A premier pass rusher is worth its weight in gold. And I think Auburn has possibly two. I think Auburn has a chance to maybe have two premier pass rushers in this defense. I think you got Jalen McLeod, who's finally healthy. You saw it last year as he got dinged up early. As soon as he got here, basically got hurt a little bit. And then it took him a while to kind of get adjusted. But I think he ended up with close to, somewhere in the neighborhood of five sacks. Was very, very disruptive. A player that could come off the edge like a missile. And he's healthy now. You saw in the spring game. This was my favorite part of the spring game. It's like the third quarter, I think, and he gets a sack. And it's when Hugh is being – interviewed on the field, and he's like, okay, guys, okay, we know what he can do. We know what Jalen McLeod can do. Let's get him out of the game. He's killing us. We know what he can do. Let's get somebody else in there. Well, at that point in time, that's all you had. You had Jalen McLeod. And I feel like Auburn's kind of been able to have maybe a guy that could go. But if that guy gets hurt or that guy doesn't pan out, then there's nothing else. Like last year, you had to really manufacture a lot of pressure with blitzes, zone blitzes, coming with linebackers, coming with DBs. And this year, I think with Jalen McLeod, you're going to be able to, and the guys we just talked about, I think you're going to be able to create a lot of pressure up front with just four, that's what the elite defenses are able to do. They're able to just send four, drop the rest in coverage or do whatever with the other guys and smother you, smother your receivers, smother your passing routes, and just make your quarterback miserable. But Jalen McLeod's great, but the story of fall camp is Kieron Crawford and his coming on, I guess, and the light sort of coming on and him sort of shining. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard of him. I didn't know much about him. I didn't know about his stats. Whenever Auburn added him, I honestly thought, from Arkansas State, I honestly was just looking at him as like a depth piece. I thought he would be just a depth guy. Didn't know a thing about the guy. But he comes here, and he's starting to really turn heads and looks spectacular. His, you know, you're talking Quentin Groves build, 6'4", 250, and 245, and can really, really run. And he's fast, just as fast, maybe not quite as fast, but not very far behind Jalen McLeod coming off the edge. And you have a legitimate, you have a legitimate 1-2 punch at edge. There's some formations where they both can be on the field at the same time. So you put those guys, if you get in a third and long situation, you could have a Crawford and a McLeod on the same on the field at the same time, and then it's a race to the quarterback. Pass rush is something that has always been something fun that I've really enjoyed. That's one of my favorite parts of the defense, because it's something that you can kind of see coming a lot of times, and you can get fired up for it. Whenever you see the play developing, you can just kind of see it. So you got that 1-2 punch with Kieron Crawford and Jalen McLeod, and I think there's so many different things that you can do with this defense that to really, really put stress, on an offense. So moving forward, so obviously it all starts up front. Now let's just jump to the back. Let's jump to the defensive backfield. This is another room where it's like you got a couple of your stalwart, your seniors, your veterans, and then you got a lot of young guys. Okay, and I think that's a really cool mix, because the seniors are in the spots where you need them to be. Like, you brought in Jaron Thompson, who is an absolute home run at safety. He's been basically since he's been here. It feels like he's been here for much longer than just getting here in January, because of the instant leadership role that he took over. And the one hole, I guess, if you could really point to a hole, you had the front of the defensive line, and then honestly that back end, that safety room, because there was just no experience. You know, you got Sylvester Smith, you got Caleb Wooden, but there's really no guy back there that was they got the talent, but maybe not quite there yet to be able to take over that quarterback role of the defensive backfield. And Jaron Thompson's in a perfect spot there. Then you got obviously Keontae Scott, your senior, you know, one of your seniors there. And then you're also getting some run from Champ Anthony, who is a junior college guy, but he's been in college football a long time. And I think he's going to be a really good nickel defender, whether you want to call it a nickel safety, nickel corner. I think he can do a little bit of both of those roles. And I think he was one of the first out on the field in the scrimmages on Saturday. So you got that, but then you got, I called it the 3D printer guys, where it's like, you just line them up. They're all 6'1" between 185 and 200 pounds. And then you got the freak Terrence Love at safety, who's, you know, 6'2", 220. So, but I mean, you got so many young guys that are very, very talented. Antonio Kite and JC Hart, those are your first two corners off the bench. Okay. And that's not mentioning Kay and Lee, who's going to be a starter, who played a ton of snaps last year, who is a sophomore. JC Hart, second year playing. You got so many young guys who have the elite SEC size for a cornerback that are getting to come in. And they're not having to be the guys right away. It's like the perfect little transition piece. Keontae Scott comes in, has a big year at outside corner. Then, boom, next year, Kay and Lee's your guy. And JC Hart may be your guy. Antonio Kite may be your guy. You still got young options that are going to be able to be kind of first off the bench, but first off the bench, but still have the experience to be able to be ready to take over in the future. So one goes down, you feel like you got a good SEC body ready guy to step in and fill for him. So, you know, how many snaps did Kay and Lee play last year? You know, Kay and Lee played a ton as the first corner off the bench. And now you're going to have a fist fight between, I feel like, Antonio Kai and JC Hart as who's that first one off the bench. And they're both just going to be battling and making each other better. So I really like the young and talented, especially at corner. But then you look, even look at safety. So Caleb Wooden, you know, I feel like he's another one of the guys that's been there a while, a junior. Caleb Wooden, another one of those leadership roles. But then you got Sylvester Smith and you got Caleb Harris right underneath them. You know, Sylvester Smith being a redshirt freshman who shined in the bowl game when he got his opportunity. And then you got Caleb Harris, who's a true freshman, had an interception in the first scrimmage, a beautiful interception that saved a touchdown, quite frankly. So, again, you got a good mixture of the veterans and then the young guys, but the young guys are studs. This is where you start. The recruiting starts to really pan out. The recruiting starts to really pay off because you've brought in some guys, and there's some guys that were stayovers, and then you've brought in some guys to be the veterans, and then you started to recruit and build the dudes coming up that are going to be the next level. I really like the options that you can have on this defensive backfield. And then linebackers. Look, in today's game, you don't have 3 to 4 linebackers on the field all the time. Normally it's two. A lot of times it may be only one. So linebacker is, to me, you just don't have that 80s, 90s downhill, you know, three linebackers on the field, four linebackers on the field coming downhill. You just don't see that a ton anymore. It's a lot of spread out type offenses. So you got to have it's not just, hey, I'm coming downhill, I'm going to hit you in the face, but also I got to be smart and I got to be able to diagnose what's going on. I got to be able to drop in coverage. I got to be able to cover. And you got guys like Eugene Asante and Austin Keys there in the middle who I think are going to be some of the best in the SEC. I think Eugene Asante has an argument. He's one of the most disruptive, one of the bigger playmakers at linebacker in the SEC. He was a breakout player last year. From what I understand, in the new NCAA football game, he's simply unstoppable. He's simply just an absolute lurker. He interceptions, whatever. And that 100% will translate to the field. But no, regardless, you got to have guys there that you trust because of you got your quarterback of the back end, which is Jaron Thompson, but your quarterback of the defense has got to be your middle linebacker or one of your middle linebackers, and that's going to be Eugene Asante. I think the defense will come and go as he goes. That they will feed off of his energy. He's going to continue, hopefully, build off that playmaking season. He's fresh. He's healthy. And then you got Austin Keys. Remember, Austin Keys last year very well could have been the Eugene Asante. Austin Keys was right there in fall camp of being take over. I'm the guy, okay? And he injured his thumb. And that doesn't sound bad, but it was a very serious thumb injury to the point where, you know, it became debilitating. Hey, people joke, but if you can't wrap somebody up, you can't play football. You can't, especially can't play defense. So he sat out for a while, kind of dropped, lost that momentum that he had built in the fall camp. Well, it's back, okay? He got a little dinged up in the scrimmage. I don't think it's very serious. We'll see how he progresses with that little nagging, little lower leg deal. I think he's going to be ready to go by the time of the first game. But, man, how good. Think about that. Typically, you only have one or two linebackers on the field at a time, and you got those two guys out there. And that's veteran guys that have been playing college football for a long time, Eugene especially, been playing college football for just a shade under a decade, and he's finally being able to break through and be the star that he deserves to be. And then obviously you got Austin Keys. And then right back behind him, you got Dorian Iosi, who's played a ton of football, and then you got Robert Woodyard, who's come along, who played a lot in the scrimmage and looked really, really good. And then obviously you got that plethora of young linebackers that you brought in. And there's so many people I didn't even mention that could be factors, like DeMarcus Riddick, who you saw running with a wide receiver in coverage, you know, in the spring game, not the spring game, in the scrimmage. You got DJ Barber, who it looks physically ready to go. And then pass rushing, we haven't even talked about Amaris Williams, who's 270 pounds, that coming off the edge and able to drop in coverage. Like, there's so many layers to this defense. I think it's time to really start looking at it as they could be they deserve the hype. They could be a factor, and then couple it in with DJ Durkin and his style, his attacking style of defense. I think this defense has the chance to be really special, and I'm excited to see their progression as the fall camp goes, and then obviously as the season kicks off. So we give the offense love every single show. It's time to give the it's time to start turning some eyes to this defense, because I think this defense, I think even as big of a jump as the offense could take this season, I think the defense is still going to have to carry us. The defense is going to have to be there to be able to get us where we need to be as far as making a run, getting to that 9-10 wins. The defense is going to have to be solid, and I think they're built in a way to make that happen. So, guys, a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to thebarnauburn.com. I'm going to get us a little banner ad so it makes it easier to see. But thebarnauburn.com is the message board that we've just started. It's me, Zach Blackerby, Brad Law, Daryl Dapperich, a lot of the personalities that you see across Auburn podcast land, all in one place that you can communicate with, that you can get information from. And then I've assembled a message board all-star list of insiders, and we're pumping out recruiting intel, team intel, a lot of stuff like that. I think you're really going to enjoy it. A little bit different. Don't have to play by the same rules as everybody else. So check it out, thebarnauburn.com. You'll catch me there. If you got questions, concerns, whatever, that's where we can start the conversation. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Hit that alarm bell, because you never know when we could pop and go live. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. And we'll be back again tomorrow getting after it. Y'all have a great Wednesday, another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.